the Kootuat Water Commission to order at 5:45 on Wednesday, March the 4th. We've scheduled this special meeting to do two primary things. Really the most important things that we do all year. Number one is to approve the budget. Number two is to evaluate the superintendent. So we have one other item on the agenda, which is to discuss and perhaps respond to a leak adjustment request. So I would like to tackle the leak adjustment request first. And I don't know, Scott, if you've been through some of these before. When people get a bill that seems out of line with previous bills, we ask them to provide letters of documentation, what the problem is, what's the rationale for the extra use. And then we have frequently, when it's been a leak that was undetected and resulted in a major discrepancy, we have provided an adjustment, and we have a formula to do that. My question to the department staff is whether our pre-existing policy conforms with the new rates and how that might affect things. But let's go through this one, and maybe Chris can summarize it for us. We have a letter here with some numbers. But
actually, if before we go to the letter, I'd be interested to know what the policies are, because then we can use the then they can use the policy to evaluate the letter.
Right.
Somebody explain?
I've
not been part of one. I've heard about these. I've not participated in one, but it seems to me consistency is important.
Okay.
So what are the policies?
I'm going to defer over to Jen, our office manager. She has the policy down packed. There's a formula that she can help you with a lot better.
I actually have the draft of the general policy that's been on the agenda for the last few meetings that we haven't gotten to with me, and the policy is stated in there. Previously, the policy has been it's meant to address catastrophic leaks. The policy has been if the usage exceeds more than two times what their highest usage has been, we would apply an adjusted rate to the amount over double their highest usage to give them a break on the water that was used but not necessarily consumed. So we have asked residents who are requesting a leak adjustment to provide documentation of when the leak was discovered, when and how it was repaired to make sure that they were diligent in taking care of it, whether the cost of the lost water was reimbursed by their insurance company, and then they request the leak adjustment based on the repairs and the things that were made. In this case, the leak was not catastrophic, but also they're a new owner in the property. There was a leak in the irrigation system as well in the kitchen sink that were taken care of pretty expeditiously. Where this is the first billing under the new rate schedule, I said all we can do is submit it and see what happens. So their usage did not exceed double their highest usage. And again, it's a new owner from 2016, so we have the history on the property, but not necessarily much history for that owner. So the way I calculated it in here, on the second page, you'll see the statement on their account. I added the two prior readings together, the January and the July readings, to come up with their consumption for a 14-month period, compared that to this owner's highest usage, and they've exceeded it by about 32,000 gallons. So I'm hoping we can, you know, we really don't have anything in place with this new structure and with something like this for a new owner to address it, so we just made some assumptions.
Just if I may follow up, three questions.
Yep.
One is this policy written down?
It is in that general policy doc. It's an internal document. It's not published.
When I was given my book,
yep.
It's in there somewhere?
We're in the process of updating that policy, but it's only because it's so old it was typewritten.
And then the second question is, does it define catastrophic? Do we know what that Okay.
Well, 2.5 times, I think.
No, there are two things. One is it has to be catastrophic and double, I think you said, right?
Yeah, so it's meant to, I guess the original, I wasn't here when the original policy was made, but my understanding is that it was meant to address a big leak, like a pipe burst, there was, you know, or something happened when the homeowner wasn't home, or
it's usually like a freeze up and a burst or something.
Yes, but something that's outside of the homeowner's control. Like, you know, we have some properties where the front house is connected to the back house, and there might be a leak in the line between the two houses that goes unnoticed for a while.
Also, meter pits that are out by the street, they don't hear it up at the house. So there's been one thing that should be kind of on there is this is a one-time thing.
Correct.
It happens once. If it happens again, that's your fault. So, yeah.
And we get... Maybe, Tom, I think about 3 or 4 requests a year. Is that about right? More?
Yeah, no more than that.
Yeah.
No more than that.
I'd say no more than 3 a year, usually. And maybe in a harsh winter, a couple,
right.
You know, is on the high side, something like that.
Mm.
It's in here somewhere?
Yeah.
So, for the record, this is a request from Jeff Songer and his wife, Rachel. The address is 83 Wild Way in Kituit. And the bill was for $1,071.50. Saying that it's 3 times larger than what they've ever had to pay before. So, did you calculate... Jen, you said a 14-month period. Did you prorate it to a 12-month period of previous years?
So we used to read in a 12-month period.
Now we're reading on 6 months.
You're reading every 6 months, but there was that additional November and December period from the prior reading when we read in July. I just added the two together. I did not prorate it because it's hard to know how much usage is attributed to what month. Other than taking it
but
divided
it
by
would
14.
Be fair, it could be fair to say it was 12/14 of whatever the reading was.
It could. You know, part of that usage is off-season usage versus summer usage, and one of the leaks was in the irrigation system.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, so they supplied the letter that of unsure of the leak, how long it was going on, repaired it as soon as they knew, both the irrigation and the sink, and they're disappointed. So they're asking for a leak adjustment. And so you've done some calculations here, Jen, on the back pages, handwriting.
I did. So we, like I said, I added the July reading to the January reading and got their usage for the 14-month period. Compared that to what their highest usage was in 2016, and the usage in this period exceeded that by 32,000 gallons. So using that as the benchmark, on the very back page, I took the 113,000 gallons, which is the difference between the 145,000 that they used in the period, minus the quote-unquote excess of 32,000, and calculated what their bill would have been for that 113,000 gallons had they not had a leak. And then I took the 32,000 gallons and multiplied that by what we estimated the cost, the raw cost of providing that water would be. So basically that's an average of the electric bill, gas, chemicals, labor, average that, we take that for the year and divide that by the X number of million gallons that we pumped and come up with an average rate. In this case, it's 35 cents per 1,000 gallons. So applied that to the excess 32,000 gallons that we're attributing to the leak and came up with an adjusted figure that would result in a savings to the resident by $299.20.
So the bill would be reduced down to $772.30.
Correct.
From the $1,071.50. And that's pretty much what they lost during the leak period or during that 12 months.
As close as we can guess. but it is a guess.
I guess what I'm wondering is, I'm trying to, before we deal with this example, because there's another element, this comes out in this letter, and it's called hardship, expressing, you know, their tight budget, they put in daycare, all that stuff, that's another factor which we should probably consider. But I'm also thinking about precedent here. We may have only had four last year, but with the new rates, we get more. We might get more. And I think it's going to be important that we're consistent. And so one other question I've always wondered about is, do we differentiate between a water leak that's part of our line leading up to the house, which clearly seems to me is our responsibility, versus something in a house or an irrigation system? I mean, again, setting aside the hardship part of this, I mean, isn't that kind of their deal?
So I don't think hardship comes into it myself. I think we have said that we would examine hardship policies if we are presented with evidence of hardship, not anecdotal, but, you know, that they're qualified under some town program. I think that the only thing that I would say is that using the highest rate and the step of the rates to address these, in other words, I think some of that overage should be not classified using the highest rate, if I'm making myself clear, just because we're giving them a discount based on the highest of the high rates, instead of maybe something to step down or something to make it a little softer. I'm not explaining it very well.
I understand what you're saying, though. You're
maybe
saying
you could express it better.
Well, I don't know that I can, but you're saying that because we're charging them for potentially lost water due to leaks at a high rate, their bill is still kind of excessively high.
So instead of the 9.7 rate, maybe the 8.55 rate, if that makes it a little softer landing for them. I don't know. It's just one idea. In other words, use the rate just below that category to calculate the difference. Do you understand what I'm saying?
If we do that, then, like Scott said, we're setting a precedent, and we have to do that.
Well, right, and so what we're talking about is maybe setting a real policy, and that's what I don't want to do tonight. We got other important stuff to
do. I guess the question I'm still interested in, if somebody puts an irrigation system in, and the guy hasn't put it in right, save some money, and it leaks, we pay for that, or does the homeowner pay for that?
They have to bring it to us.
Right, no, but I mean...
Right, well, the thing is, anything that happens before the meter, you know, we're required for anyways, and that's stuff that we have to put in as estimated loss every year when we report to DEP. So there's no... You can't recover anything that's before anyways, but afterwards, like you were saying, this is after the house, this is to a point... And when he called, he said, you know, they bought the house, it had the existing sprinkler system, you know, if something happened because of lack of maintenance to it, I don't know if he was familiar with it.
Right,
he didn't know it was leaking. He found it, you know, at a certain point, but this is Cape Cod, you know, when it showed itself, he doesn't know how long it leaked at that point. So between that and he said, and I had a couple of things, he said, I repaired them all myself. He said, I didn't have a company come in to do it. You know, I've never had this high of a use since we've been here in the 3 years that they owned it, I think it is. And everything he said, and it was always seemed to be fine. So
I'm just trying to understand. Somebody's going to pay for the water. So if he doesn't pay for it, then we're asking the other residents to subsidize. Right?
Well, yes.
Paying for it, but
at a reduced
cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a
reduced
cost.
Nobody pays.
Well, no, but I mean the water rates are set by the budget.
Yeah.
And all the lost water, if somebody, you know what I'm saying? Somebody's going to pay for the water.
District,
which gets distributed amongst everybody else.
And this is the reason why we say it's a case-by-case basis. You guys are the only ones that can decide.
So, again, I'm just wondering what our policy going forward is going to be. Are we going to exempt leaks in private irrigation systems. Is that
not
right?
Exactly passed on to the rest of the ratepayers, Scott, I don't think, because it's not like the tax where you have a set amount of revenue you have to raise to support that budget. We have an operating budget that is supported partially by the water rates, but not entirely.
I understand. And I understand you. He's choosing to have to use the sprinkler system. I understand what you're saying in a way.
First,
you know,
question.
Yeah.
We're going to get other people coming in saying, "Hey, my irrigation system leaked." Are we going to say, "Okay, we got it. We're going to cover that from now on"? Is that what we're saying? I'm just trying to understand.
This is something that, you know, that's what, like I said. I mean, if we're going to have a policy, it's got to be across and standard. I understand what you're saying, but then again, you know, it's
otherwise
a case by case also. So I don't know, because this guy didn't know the system and is new, is it different? Can he show something? And I don't know if the hardship, like you said, has anything to do with it.
I
this
think
is why you guys make this decision, not me.
So I think what we've done is establish some questions. I think we can defer this and think about some ways to approach it. And I don't think hardship enters into it. I think hardship is a different issue. If they want to submit a second letter saying, "We claim hardship," or from the school lunch program, whatever, that...
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I think that's a different
just
situation.
Just saying how tough it is to meet.
Yeah, well, it is.
Today's society and everything else.
They are kind of inferring a little bit of hardship here.
But I think part of the policy is this one-time adjustment. We don't do it... Yeah. So now they're on notice. Don't let it happen again, because it's on you the next time. I mean, that's part of the policy, I think, is it's fair.
And if you do decide, you can always state, you know, yes, but be aware that out there for the public, we're going to set a policy and it's going to be written blank, blank, blank. And if you don't meet this policy, you know, if you can't prove a reason, something happened, you know, like, I don't know, your neighbors came in and cut your sprinkler system off or something like that.
So I didn't understand all your math you were suggesting before. We don't need to go through it again, but might another resolution be to kind of meet the person halfway?
Well, Jenna's suggesting a $300 discount.
Okay.
She's done the calculations based on our existing policy. I'm suggesting that maybe we not use the highest rate of 9.70. And maybe you can recalculate that, Jen, see if it makes any difference. Maybe it's another $50. I don't know.
And that's just for the 13,000 gallons.
Right.
At the 9.70.
Maybe it's like $10.
I think if we, and that gets into a policy change, but I think if we start doing that, we're going to need to do that for everyone, and they're going to be looking for the
absolutely
lowest rate possible. Going to hit the high rate, no matter what. When you get to that many gallons, you hit that rate.
And their history clearly demonstrates that they hit that 100,000 gallons
and
cap with regularly used leak.
Yeah. So because you look back from 2016 till now, and they're you know, I don't know if the 211 was them, but the 134, the 156 was them. And
so what is the proposed?
I'm kind of thinking they should. I kind of like the math.
What is the proposed reduction then?
So this would be what their bill would be. This is what their bill currently is.
So we give them a $300.
$299.20.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to me, I'm comfortable with that because it strikes me we're kind of meeting them halfway. I have a hard time saying that we should, you know, no problem, don't worry about it, we're all good with that.
We're not saying that at all.
No,
that's what
the
calculation is intended.
No, I'm saying, but if we gave them the full thing, went back to 300, we'd be doing that.
Right.
We gave them a $700 discount, right?
This is just taking the 300
so kind of,
off.
It seems like we're kind of meeting them halfway, which is good, I think. I guess I'm okay with that.
It's an adjusted bill.
Yeah.
Based on history.
Yeah.
And I think it's
it's consistent with our existing policy and our existing bill structure.
Right. But the previous policy was using a rate structure that was much more easy to handle for excess. Now it's very high, and it's intended to be high. It's had this not unintended consequence, but unfortunate consequence that people that are exceeding because of leaks or pushing themselves into the highest bracket.
But she still goes back and looks at their prior bills, and that's what it's based on for use.
Correct.
And then the overage is like, okay, we'll eat that overage that was leaked. So we're really not giving them a break on the tiered costs, I don't think.
Right, we're giving them a break on the usage over and above
what they normally would. So they, you know, based on what they've used in the past, they would have paid $772 or thereabouts.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. And moving forward with it. If you think you want to do that before we get into policy level discussions.
What differs from the policy is that it's not more than double that. That's what they're
talking about. Because they caught it.
They caught it
with incentive to let it go, right?
Leak, right? We want them to catch it.
And to tell you the truth, this guy might not have called if we didn't up the prices like we did. He said the bill would have normally been around $700 or something like that, and he paid $300 and it doubled. He'd be like, well, I guess maybe I had a leak. I guess I know it. You know, at this point, he might not even have called. I know people that have bills like this right now that had leaks that didn't call, or at least one person, I should say. And he said, you won't get my check, he said, till the day before the 60 days is up. Just because I'm still saving for it. But he knew it was a leak. He told me that.
Well, so are we saying we just keep the existing policy and use these same rates? Is that what we're saying?
I would think so, at maybe for this one anyways, until such time as we decide to address.
Well, then maybe we should defer a decision on this until we wrestle with the policy.
That could be months.
Why?
Budget.
Yeah.
Did you say maybe we should defer until then?
Yeah.
The only thing I have to say about that is that next month we start sending out minimum.
Well, we could handle this one and then address the policy later, too. I mean, you know, we change policies anytime. It doesn't matter when somebody submits something. It's, I mean, I think this is a fair conclusion. How you derive it is you're the only person who knows how to do it. So, but, I mean, just the numbers look fairer to me.
Yeah.
And I think he's certainly going to respect the fact that we addressed his issue. So do you want to vote it?
I'd make a motion that we adjust the bill
as written?
As according to the figures that our office manager has produced, and that we give this guy a discounted
adjusted bill.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we moved and seconded to approve the adjusted bill based on the written information that was presented by the staff. All those in favor say aye.
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 The chair votes aye. It's unanimous. Okay, so spent longer on that than I want to, but at least we get it done. So we're going to talk about the budget for FY21. And we have two color-coded budgets. Somebody has to explain to me what the difference is.
So the one that's the pink on the top
Okay.
The one with the additional columns, that very last column should say fiscal year 21, not 20, and this is before the revenue impact of the budget. The actual expense for 18 and 19, the budgeted expense for 20, and the proposed after the budget.
Should we look at this one at all?
Only if you want to see
previous years? Okay. So we're really dealing with the pink one. Okay. So this is the first time we're discussing this. We need a timeline suggested to us in terms of what the Prudential Committee is looking for.
They're looking at us to come to the March meeting, March 15th, with to present this to them.
Okay. So we should, this would be our last meeting before then to vote on it. As to what
Correct.
We want to recommend, unless we schedule yep. another meeting, but prefer not to do that. So why don't we talk a little bit about major deviations first, and then we'll go through it line by line. If we look at the salaries, labor and salaries, we discussed previously operator B getting a step before the new fiscal year, and we approved that. And operator B as well as operator A, so we're at the whole, almost the whole gang. The major difference is really just the looks like the overtime, and then any of the I don't see any changes in the salaries, Chris.
There isn't. You guys have to set that tonight, salaries.
Okay, so you're going to make recommendations to us for the other staff?
My past has been recommendations of yes, no, raise, yes, no. Tell you a little that I did their evaluations, where they sit in their evaluations, and you guys set the percentage it usually would be. I did look around and listen a little bit around. I called the retirement board and talked to a woman over there, and she really wasn't sure what they're going to get because they don't vote till their March meeting.
Cost of living.
Cost of living right now, they are okayed up to 3% for those for their retirees. So they'll decide whether, usually last year they were okayed up to 3%, they gave 3%, I think it was.
What did we give last year?
3. Yeah, I think it was 3% last year.
I know we wanted to get 3. I don't know if we got that through Prudential.
Yeah, we did. It was 3. It was 3. I talked to the fire department today. Got a copy of their signed 3-year, next 3-year contract. Mm-hmm. They are getting a 2% raise every 6 months for the next 3 years.
So they're 4 per year.
So yeah, it's 4 per year. It's 2-2-2-2-2-2.
For
2.
6 years.
For 3 years.
That's what the union.
That's what the union, yeah. And what else they implemented this year is health insurance wise. If you take the health insurance, everybody here is entitled to health insurance as an employee. If you do not take it, you're entitled to 50% of the lowest cost as a stipend given to you over 4 different checks throughout the year. They have currently 4 people that are going to get that. They agreed with it. It is not coming out of their budget. The Prudential Committee is going to have to carry that. Talking to the treasurer over there, I didn't talk to him, the fire chief did, and stated that you guys pay the health insurance, you guys are going to carry it, basically. Called Calm. Calm's been doing this for 6 years. They get more of a percentage because they pay 90% over in Calm for the health insurance. So I believe they get $16,000 a year for not taking the insurance to defer people to switch if it comes. If
they have a spouse.
Correct.
And
correct. Or if somebody gets married.
Somewhere else.
or an employee gets married and goes through, you know, has a chance to get on one or the other.
Yeah.
But that's the only thing I really have right now for what's out there for increases. That's what's local, at least, I could tell you. In the past, we've kind of leaned to the fire department to see what they've been accepted at, or district employees. I think last year, they also marked or copied what the assistant treasurer was going to get, something to that effect.
On the cost of
living. Right, but
yeah.
I haven't heard that this year, what it was going on for there. Ray made the, before we decided, Ray had already made his announcement what he wanted to give her, and they said okay at the production committee.
Right. And that was more than what they gave us.
I believe it was either 3 or 4 that she got. I'm not positive.
So we'll come back to this, but let's just look at the rest of it. So the subsections of maintenance and operation, the highlighted lines in yellow, the large increase in water testing on a percentage basis is because of new testing we want to do for these emerging contaminants, PFOS, PFOA. And that, are there other new tests as well, or just more testing?
Yeah, we don't usually have to do the radium, the gross alpha, or the SOCs. They only come up every 3 years.
And this is the year?
This is the year they come up, but we won't have to do some ones that were more expensive last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's different things on it. I also want to point out that I had Jen raise station and tanks up another $2,000 with the anticipation of having to pay for a maintenance account on the new SCADA system.
Mm-hmm.
To keep somebody in there to fix and work, hopefully to work all the kinks out and everything else. That there'll be some kind of contract signed eventually, whether it'll be on a 6 month period or a year long, we'll have to keep an eye on that.
Scott, the USDA maintenance reserve is required from the grant from the,
Into a tank, yeah. When we took
we got
the
loan,
yeah.
Yeah, so we have to put that aside every year to take care of the equipment. And other major deviations, I don't see the little bit on computer equipment, gasoline. Prices are coming down again. Did you get more trucks? Bigger trucks?
Mileage now, too.
Tuick got bigger.
Yeah.
And so is there a motion to approve the maintenance and operation portions of the budget?
I'll make a motion to approve the operations and maintenance parts of the budget.
Second.
Are there any questions that you'd like answered from the staff? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. It's unanimous. So getting back to the labor and salaries, what I'm hearing, Chris, is that there are different ways to present any recommendations. Aren't there some steps that, is this taking into account steps or is this on top of steps?
We have to figure that out. One of the operator A here, has an odd situation. His anniversary date is exactly 6 days after our fiscal year starts. So if we were to give him whatever percentage raise that you have, it would be for a week, then he'd step up to the next pay, we'll say, which kind of seems like he's getting the short side of the stick there or something, you know, as it's there, but.
Why?
The way it's written now is that he would get, like, I think a week's, maybe 3 days worth of, because the way that we work week is, it would be like 3 days worth of the percentage. Then he'd go right up to, as long as he's met all the qualifications.
Get more salary, so.
Yeah, up to the.
That would be the same, it would be on a higher salary, higher base.
That would be my question to everybody. Would I base that with the percentage of the raise on the new salary that's 3 days later?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, if he gets, just say right now it's 1% raise for everybody or 10% raise, it would be the 55 plus the 10. We'd already say, because he received the raise before, then he has a step increase after that. You don't have a problem with keeping that in there, the percentage on the 55, because it's so close. Okay. Good. Thank you.
No, I think that's what it should be, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we got an anniversary date, so it'll be different.
Yeah.
For everybody.
So don't you know what the next steps are? Everybody's stepping up this year or not? No.
No, the only reason this isn't here, because whatever you tell me you want for COLA or whatever you want to say. Right now, I can tell you that each one of these guys, the only thing that's different here is that Operator B currently makes 55. So if you tell me that's going to happen, we could base the 55 with the COLA on both A and B, but I have to get them answers from you tonight before we put them figures in.
It's dollars, right? Just do it at 55.
Yeah.
So
both the A and B.
Superintendent, assistant super, and office manager have no steps that are going to happen whatsoever, so we don't have to worry about that. That's
okay.
Going to be whatever you say at
that's
that point.
Considered management?
We've stepped out.
Oh.
Stepped out.
And the assistant superintendent has to?
He doesn't. Yes, he's at the top of the scale right now.
Oh, okay. So it would be strictly COLA adjustments?
Correct.
Yeah. And last year we did 3%.
Last year we did, yes.
Yeah. And what do we do the year before that?
See, I thought we went for 3%.
Well, you've got the numbers right here, right? So you can figure out what
we got 3% last year. Yeah.
It
was a fight because there was.
It was a pain.
Yes. Yeah. The year before that, it was tough because that's when we had the step and we set all the salaries. So there really wasn't a COLA for it. It's like some people, when we set the steps, got a large raise. So you guys said. Yep. These are tough to look at. Oh, well, that's an account thing, I'm thinking, the way things are based on 52
yeah,
weeks and
like
2 days.
Yeah, like 2.3% last year. 2.3 based on what's showing from, oh, no, I'm wrong.
That was the previous show.
That was 18, 19.
Yeah.
I just looked at what the COLA comparison was, what the recommended cost of living from the Fed was, and it's gone down to like 1.6% because of the drop in interest rates and costs of, you know, cost of living associated with that. But that's kind of for military and government employees, baseline stuff. To me, 3% is a pretty standard.
Yeah, see, I got a 3% last year.
Did you just do?
Yeah, I just did. Okay. Well, I just did this year. Mine's pretty easy. All you do is the 3% on that, and it popped me right there.
Yeah.
I think Jen went up to her. She maxed out last year, I think. Didn't you, Jen? Yeah. So it was only myself and, at the time, the assistant superintendent. I mean, excuse me, the senior operator who had the increase of those figures out here now.
Scott, a lot of the overhead is handled under the district budget, so like that's why you're not seeing things like health insurance and employer tax and stuff like that. That's handled through the district general budget.
Right.
Can I back up to operations just real quick?
Sure can.
A question that popped into my mind based on the most recent warrants. Do you
do you think the stations with the new SCADA are going to use a lot more electricity? Or is that just
No.
Additional pumping?
I'm worried more about the
work.
I don't think those were
like 33, 34.
Yeah, those, we have electric heaters in every one of them. So if they get running, it's one thing. I would think
people work in there.
Right, a couple of them, but if you look at what they usually are in the summertime, that's nothing compared to, you know, the like Station 5 usually is $1,500 or something like that.
Yeah.
And even the tanks, they'll go down because their heaters aren't running in the summertime.
If it's related to heaters and not the new
The SCADA
the
system
new equipment.
Itself doesn't, it shouldn't use any more electricity right now than what's there.
Okay.
But I can check and ask the guys right now if they think it's going to be that much more.
The
only thing I just want to mention, too, is you guys did this as maintenance and operations. There's also a section down here called service connections, which is where I buy my stock out of and everything else. So I just want to make sure that's on record also as being, except that I didn't increase it at all. But it's something that if I don't use it, I can't, this doesn't count as part of the rest of the maintenance, the count here.
What does that cover?
Service stock, service repairs, any kind of repairs that are done to the system, like curb stop replacements, stuff like that.
Okay, so let the record show that we included service connections in that previous vote to approve maintenance and operation. So, Chris, do you have recommendations for your staff?
I did do... my evaluation, and I will tell you that we have three different categories. One is acceptable, unacceptable, one meets requirements, and three exceeds on here. I'm sorry, the overall rating less than 10 needs improvement, corrective performance necessary. Score between so-and-so, the incumbent needs, meets all expectations. Total score exceeds performance. The office manager has exceeded. Both operators have exceeded on their score here. And it's a little tougher and everything else, but the assistant superintendent has met expectations. It's a different system. There's five checkoff categories in the first and four in this one, so you have to really do well to do the exceeding and everything. So he's done well for him. So I wouldn't suggest not a raise for anybody.
You would suggest not a raise for
him? No, I said I wouldn't suggest. I mean, no, you're right. You did it. You played me there.
Did you hear what I heard?
I would suggest raises for everybody, yes.
But those are cost of living raises.
Correct.
Yeah, so they did their jobs, and they did them well.
Yes.
And so they're going to take what the guys that are eligible for steps will get their steps.
Yep.
And then it's just a matter of setting the percent for cost of living.
Right. And
we're going to have to be consistent with the district, but I think we go in at a minimum of three. If the fire department's getting four, they're an association, so their contract gives them a little more. They have to pay 1%.
Bargaining power.
They have to pay 1% union dues.
But they have to pay union. Exactly.
Is that right?
Yeah.
1% of the salary?
I don't know if it's 1%, but they do have to pay union dues.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So to me,
they pay money to make money.
We got 3% last year. It'd be nice just to go in with like, all right, we'd like to give them 3% for 6 years, but I don't, you know, we got to do it every year.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I realize we don't have, we can't put a contract out,
right.
You know, with something like that. It's, I don't know, like I said, with the other thing that they asked for, if the Prudential Committee is going to present that as a district-wide thing with the, like I said, with the health insurance at all or anything like that, but it would be something to talk to them about.
That's new to me.
A lot of people
I've worked for the government my whole life, and I've never seen that before. But it makes sense,
right?
You know, if you're not taking the insurance that the district's, the part of the insurance that the district covers, then maybe you get a stipend for that. So
correct. And I
to
will
help
tell you
for health expenses, right? That's
right.
The purpose.
I will tell you that Paul did tell me that, like I said, there were four people that don't take it in this department. One of the guys was waiting for the enrollment to take it again. When they signed this for the stipend, he said, "Oh, I'm not going to take it now." He said, "It puts me back." He said, "Where?" He said, "It'll be cheaper for me to stay with my wife and get the stipend."
Yeah.
So it did work for what it's supposed to do.
What's the savings to the district? Is there
initially?
Is there
it's
any
not, it, initially, it's going to cost the district a little bit of money.
Well,
it's going to be about $10,000 a year right now. So with the four people, it would be $40,000 that the district's going to have to add on to their medical account. But they also are supposed to carry enough money so that if one of them four people wants to go into the enrollment and take it, they have to give it to them. So I don't know if they carry enough money. I think they're playing a gambling game. I don't know enough to talk. I haven't talked to Ray about it. I just found out about it last week when they were talking to me, really, about 2 weeks ago. And I didn't approach Ray about it because I wanted to listen and find out if they signed everything. And actually, I think Jen told me that they did at the meeting. Yeah, and I didn't realize that, so I went and talked to the fire chief this morning on it. And I have the language here, if you want to read
saving.
It.
Saving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If someone
says that's what that. I was thinking. It's not a cost.
And there's things that are there that you have to do. The language has them that you have to show that you're getting it from somebody else.
Yeah.
You know,
is this relevant for us in our department?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. It might be. It's something to ask. And this.
Well, we got.
Oh, you mean is.
Yeah. Do you guys have other?
Almost everybody
for
does.
Health insurance?
There's one person that doesn't take it in our department, and you're talking to him.
That doesn't take
right.
The insurance.
Right. So this is a little selfish, I guess I want to say, or a little
so
something
you
else.
You
get
through your wives.
Yes. Yes. Currently, I do, but they should get threatened every year. You know, this might be the last year. You know, they give them that. You know, you got a package here, and that's part of your pay, and. You know, this might be the last year. It's getting tougher and tougher to do it. So, you know, like I said, if they up it enough, I'd jump right back on if I have to. But I haven't done it in 5 years. I think it is 6 years or something like that. So, I mean, I've saved the district a lot of money. You're welcome. But, yeah, there are certain, they have a whole thing. And this language all came from Tom gave it to him that they have here.
Who gave it to
him? Sylvester Masters Mills took it out of their contract and gave it to him.
Yeah.
And it says it's 50% of the monthly premium in four checks, stipend checks, and it doesn't get put to your retirement or anything like that because it's a stipend check. So they don't take retirement out of it or...
it contributes to your bottom line percentage at the end of your tenure with the district, right? Because it's a stipend. Should.
Yes.
For retirement purposes.
not like they say, okay, we're not going to count that $10,000 or whatever it is towards their salary.
It's an addition to.
It should be an addition
to. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. So, Chris,
is that something we should talk to the Prudential Committee about? And say, we're thinking of doing this with our people? And we know that the fire department's doing it with their people?
Well, is the fire department doing it as part of their union contract, or is it just something?
It did get accepted into their contract. It's new this year that it gets accepted into their contract,
yeah. Okay. Does the fire chief is not entitled to that? He's not part of the union.
I don't know, because he was talking even that the assistant treasurer, if they take it in, he said the assistant treasurer doesn't believe he takes it, that she might be entitled to it. And that's when I said, well, she's not part of the fire department. How come if they're going to give it to them, they're going to give it to everybody?
Hmm.
So, like I said, I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody at the Prudential Committee. I didn't want to call one person and talk to them about it and everything. I figure if I'm going to address it, it should be everybody.
So this wouldn't affect
It would not affect our budget.
It would be a recommendation that we could make to the Prudential Committee that staff be treated equally throughout the district.
Correct. It wouldn't affect our budget that's in front of you right now at all.
Yeah. Well, I think that everybody who works for the district should be treated the same absent the union contract. I mean, we're all one big happy family here, aren't we?
Well, we provide water.
And they can't put out
your
fires. You
don't do well without water. You know? And we provide revenue. So,
Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention, Chris. I think it's something that we meaning you and I, should talk to the Prudential Committee.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Is that
when we present this afterwards, we could ask it the same night, probably.
Or prior to that. Like, are you presenting the budget next week to the Prudential Committee? Or
March 15th, I think they changed it to,
next
right?
Next week?
16th?
Okay, so that's like Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah,
after.
Yeah, that Monday. Yeah, so yeah, this would be then, yeah, to talk to them about, yeah. Because they have to put in their budget if they... They would have to budget for it also. Yeah.
So maybe as chair, I should send an email to them saying that we want to address it.
No.
So they can have a heads up.
Just give them a heads up on it. Yeah, okay.
Can Jen remind me?
She just wrote it down. Send Mark an email to send an email.
You remind me and I remind you. So it works out. Right.
So do we need a motion to do the raise?
I would make a motion that we recommend at least a 3% cost of living increase for all of our employees.
Okay, we haven't evaluated the superintendent, if you want to hold off on that, but why don't we deal with everybody else and then we'll deal with him separately. We'll deal with him separately.
Well, he could still get the cost of living.
We could vote that again.
Well, it depends on the it depends on my score.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, to me, the cost of living is separate than a step thing. But
that's
okay. All right.
So can we amend the motion to include everybody except the superintendent at this point?
Yes, so moved.
Second.
So it's been moved and seconded to recommend a 3% increase to salaries and wages, salaries I guess they are, for the non-superintendent staff of the department, and to recommend that to the Prudential Committee this month. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Chair votes aye. It's unanimous. Good. Okay, so now we get to evaluate the superintendent. And
all smiles.
We've talked, Scott.
Oh, did you see what I did?
Oh, see, he's trying to get a point.
I didn't.
What is Mark like? Oh, Mark likes his map. Good.
Temperature in here just right.
Yep, yep. So, Scott, what we've
put a pad on your
we've talked about in the past is that this apparently needs to be done in public. Chris evaluates his staff in private. We evaluate the superintendent in public, which I think is awkward, but it's a public agency, so we have to do that.
Yes. Just because we can't meet in executive session unless
right.
It's something other than this. We talked about that
negotiate
last year.
Negotiate, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Disciplinary purposes.
Right. Okay, so what I think we did previously is to just read through what the criteria are and then think about whether we think that these are being met or exceeded or not met. And this is for the period of the fiscal year, Chris, or the calendar year?
The calendar year.
Calendar year of 2019?
No. I'm sorry, you're right, fiscal, because this is when it would be. I had to make sure with mine that it was calendar. So that would be fiscal for them. You're right. We go off a fiscal year here.
So it's fiscal year 20, calendar year 19.
I think we wrote last year 18 on it, so maybe it is. I think last year we had 2018.
So I have. From the last meeting, I have one that's dated for the evaluation period from 1/1/2019 to 12/31/2020.
Okay, so it's that's a two-year period.
Which is a two-year period.
That's a mistake. You do it each year, right?
Yeah. So I would say it's probably from 1/1 now.
Okay, I'm going to read through the criteria. We can think about it and then we can discuss each category. So the first deals with infrastructure management and safeguarding, and the tasks and criteria are: there is no deficiency in water supply or quality recorded, no significant incidents of contamination or degradation that are found go unaddressed, no equipment failures due to lack of maintenance are recorded, security systems are fully functional, proposed budget submissions are timely and acceptable, variances from budgets are documented and approved. I don't understand how that's part of infrastructure management. That sounds like a separate thing to me, but nevertheless. So are there any comments, responses, questions, concerns that the commissioners have for this particular category?
I guess the only comment I would make is I think in the second bullet on no incidents of contamination unaddressed, I think our ongoing discussion of the sodium issue is something that we need to pay attention to. I'm not being critical at all. I think you've done a good job bringing it to our attention, but I think maybe on a going forward basis, I think it's something that we really got to focus on and think about what we should be doing. And maybe that's an agenda item at a future meeting, but it is something that I'm a little bit concerned about. And I think the PFAS testing is something that, you know, you certainly are giving us a report every month on, and I'm starting to feel like we probably need to put a deadline on that, and if the state doesn't come through, let's just get it done. I don't remember if we did that or not. We had a discussion about
that. We did talk about that.
But I think those are the two issues that, to me, are really important ones. And, again, I'm not being critical. I think you've been
right.
Doing a great job keeping us. But going forward, I think we've got to do something about both of them.
I will tell you that I did get a confirmation from the director at DEP saying that we're on the list.
They were on the list?
Yes. From the second time that I applied, after when they put out all the money that came in and said, well, you're part of that now we've accepted it, and I have that information in an email from her.
Commissioner Horsley, I'm not sure that you've worked much in the governmental realm and understand bureaucratic slowness. I'm being facetious.
No, I know. No, but I think we've talked about both of those issues several times, and I think it's our joint responsibility to address them. And I think addressing means more than talking. So I think we need to get the PFAS testing done, and I think we need to come up with some, either we self-evaluate the sodium issue, or maybe we get our contractor to look into that or something. I kind of think we could do some self-evaluation on that. And again, I think this is another discussion item, but I think there are two things that need to be addressed.
Okay. Is there a easy filter to deal with sodium?
No. Sodium is very expensive to remove,
So it needs to be addressed at the source.
Right now, it's currently under the guidelines for average use, from the station.
Yeah.
It's still not in violation or anything, but it's heading that way. Mm-hmm. And like that's why I brought, that every year it goes up, and I even tried testing it without the raw water, and it's not much different than after the chlorine goes in. We're using the sodium. There's sodium in that, and it's not even increasing it that much at all out there for the finished water. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely coming from the raw water. I don't know if more signs someplace, low salt use here, there, anywhere when you're near the zone 2, start putting some signs around saying, hey, if you can.
Yeah, well, not to get into it, but as I mentioned before, I wonder about that new development up around well 5 there. I don't know the timing, but there is a lag time between stuff goes into the infiltrating catch basins and then starts heading towards the well. There could be a year or more lag time there.
Yeah.
It would be good to find out what's happening in that neighborhood.
Right.
I don't want to get into it tonight, but I think it's something we should talk about.
And this is something that I talked to the other superintendents about.
Yeah,
and
right.
I did talk with the gentleman from Hyannis, who's going to be asking the town of Barnstable to do something about it also to bring it up.
Yeah.
Because he found out from the town of Barnstable that they're not using sand anymore. They're using straight salt.
Remember you mentioned that.
Yeah.
That
could be it right there. Yeah. So it's something he's going to bring, and he's going to ask them to take it upon themselves, the town of Barnstable, to put something out there also.
Yeah.
He says, just look out. He says, when I do it, he says, I'm going to ask for backup.
Just as an aside, I spent 2 weeks up in Vermont this winter, and I didn't use any salt up there. I get a lot more snow and a lot more hills.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Tom, in terms of security systems, when I first came on, we were starting to implement the SCADA. I mean, it's taken quite a long time, but we do think that it is now fully up and running and all the bugs are out.
The cameras are, yes. The SCADA system itself, they just today finished station number 2. They still have to do 1 and 4. They left today. When we left tonight from the office, there was a gentleman on there logged in, putting everything in to perspective. So we'll have to run that. They're scheduled to be here not next Monday, the following Monday. They're doing it in 2-week intervals. So the last... They're both scheduled to be here to do the other 2 stations, and we'll be all the way over.
And during the time where you're doing conversions, the old system's still functional?
Only with the stations that aren't switched over.
Right, so...
Correct.
So 1 and 4 are
correct.
Still functional.
Are still on the old system. And then it's going to be a point where we're starting to work. The King said that we're going to have to go over to the new system. And when it gets down to one station, the 2 stations only, once we get the kinks worked out with this last one, we're going to have to switch over to the new system and try to run it from there. I haven't felt comfortable enough to do it yet. We did do it by accident one day. One of the programmers left it in auto and on, and JR was on call. He called me up and said, do you realize that we ran 5 all night? He said it came on and it worked. It shut off when it was supposed to, and yeah, exactly.
Quite a shock when I walked in there Saturday morning.
that's when you find out a few of the different alarms that you've had aren't there, and you got to reprogram them in and everything else.
What's the status on 1 and 4? Did you just say that? When will that be switched?
Yeah, that'll be one will be started in 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks. 2 weeks from Monday, they'll start ripping that one out and putting the new wires in into the new system and everything else. Then 2 weeks from then, they'll do 4.
Yeah.
So we're talking within a month. And it'll be done by the end of this month. They'll be working on station 4.
And Russ came in at the last meeting and said they're going to need more money for it, right?
He said GHD would like some more money, yes.
GHD. Is that reflected in the budget?
No, that's with special appropriation.
Special appropriation.
Correct. There's money in there for contingencies and stuff.
Those are very high contingencies.
Yeah.
Very high.
Right.
Right. So that's there.
Correct. It's already there.
That's something we budgeted
right.
for the district.
Before,
budget.
Yep.
Okay. I'd like to go back to Scott's point about contamination and degradation and add manganese and iron to that discussion as well, particularly given the fact that we haven't had that issue resolved in the 3 years that I've been here.
Yep.
I
will tell you the 4 just got cleaned. They took it out and we just put that back online last week.
How did it look?
It didn't look great.
Same as the other?
Yeah, it was nasty coming out of there, believe me. And we have if you want, I'll send you the link. You can see what the screen looked like before and what it looked like afterwards. It cleaned it up quite a bit. It was gucked up with iron underneath.
Mm.
Yeah. But it's cleaned up now nice and everything, so I don't know if you'll get as much, if it's going to help more for the next at least year or two.
Is that a 2-inch? Is that a 2-inch main? That goes
from
her house?
It's 1 inch.
It's 1 inch.
Yeah, off an 8-inch water main, yeah.
So I think the issues of contamination and I don't think they've been unaddressed. I think collectively the commissioners and the superintendent address them on a monthly basis. We dealt with the report dealing with the treatment plant. We collectively, and I say this as the 4 of us, not just Chris, I think make sure that we discuss. I think we are very aggressive in identifying our contaminant problems that could arise or have arisen and or are mounting. We've set aside the budget's showing more money for the PFAS testing that we have to do if the state doesn't come through or even if they do come through. So I think that's a response that Chris has made to show that he understands the importance of it and he knows how important we think it is because
yes.
we keep bringing it up. The equipment failures, lack of maintenance, so just an example to me is the West Street tank cleaning. I think that, again, Chris recognized that it needed to be done. He figured out a way to get some bids and has it on track now to be attended to. I think that you should have brought more to our attention than for us to bring it to your attention, just because you're the one who's out there more and hearing what people are saying and seeing the equipment on a regular daily basis almost. But we work together to get that accomplished, and I appreciate the fact that it's going to happen before the summer season. That's great.
On the iron and manganese, on the treatment report, am I recalling correctly that you were going to have one of the representatives come down and talk to us?
Yeah, I was waiting to find out.
Okay.
You know, you were looking at a couple different things, and we had said that we would wait until you guys wanted him to come down. He said
okay.
He will come down whenever you want.
I think we should wait until after the district meeting because we're going to be busy before then.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure we
correct.
Don't lose.
Okay.
Because I think
yeah.
we have a report sitting
yes.
there for telling us we're supposed to think about saving $10 million to build a treatment plant. I'm not sure we're there. So.
Okay. Can we wrap up this section? Is there anything else to say? If not, I would like to get your points being one for unacceptable, two for meets requirements, or three exceeds requirements. Commissioner Horsley, that's just dealing with this section.
I gave a, I wrote down 2.5.
Yeah.
No good?
No, come on. All right, we'll see. We'll, maybe somebody else will give a 2.5, and then we'll divide. What do you got?
Two.
Two. I have a three. I think that...
see, you guys average 2.5.
All right, so we will... compliance. All Department of Environmental Protection, EPA regulations are met or exceeded or are being actively addressed to satisfy full compliance. So this is regulatory compliance. Number two, all licenses and technical credit hours, self and staff, are up to date. To me, that means that not just recognizing your own licensing requirements, but encouraging staff to make sure they're...
And they've all certified this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they all have met their requirements for their current licensing. And actually, both the guys did take their D2 and pass.
And you?
I didn't take my D2. I have my D3. So,
so you're good?
Yeah, I'm good. I had enough DCHs and everything to continue every 3 years. You have to have so many classes. And I try, and like I encourage the guys all the time to take. You see a class come up, you want to take it, take it. Can't get enough knowledge, and it changes every day. You know, as I told them, even one person can teach you the same. You get the same class and get it taught by three different people. You get three different perspectives. You can figure it out from there.
Yeah. Sean's good.
Yeah, he reached his. He actually just sent in to try to get his. I guess it's his four. Turned from in training what is it? Full. Yeah, thank you.
Full.
Yeah. If they don't give it to you until you've been doing the job for so long, then they'll give you it from in training to full.
One thing I would say while we're all here, that part of being a salaried professional is professional development. You should not just do the required licensing and things, but there's so many workshops and lectures and things going on around the Cape about water quality and, you know, just like, have you ever been to a Silent Spring workshop? What do they do? And they're looking at cancer rates on the Cape. Water, air, land, what is causing cancer? And if some of it is water-related, they're trying to get to the bottom of it. You know, we have a lot of expertise here in this little county that other places don't have, and water quality professionals should take advantage. Just stuff you see in the newspaper or online that, you know, a lecture by Professor Horsley or something about water quality. It'd be good to learn more about the broader aspects of hydrogeology and not just all the time, I think.
And like the PFAS thing I went to.
Yeah, right. So, you know, part of that is self-development, learning on your own, trying to find those things. Some of it is asking Chris, you know, what are the opportunities? You know, when the superintendents get together, are the other staff allowed to come for sitting in at all or anything? The county meetings?
Well, they can if there's classes, they can come and take the classes and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah. So I just, you know, in my own organization, I encourage that. Particularly for the younger people, because you know, it's not like being a bank teller or a waiter where you punch the clock and then you go home and you don't have to think about it again. When you're a salaried professional, you're supposed to be learning all the time on your own, not just when you're required to. So it's not a criticism, it's an opportunity.
Well, I have a question about that. So like, if we were to take one of these workshops that aren't DTH approved, which I totally agree with you on that, but if we were to do it like during work, the same guidance of not using our personal time or vacation time and being paid well taking this
I'm talking about things that are off hours.
Okay.
That's what's called professional development.
Well,
that's something you'd have to work out with Chris. If it was during work hours, you'd have to work it out with Chris, and on a case-by-case basis, he would have to decide for you.
Right.
But I think that, you know, when you're on your free time and you see a lecture by, you know, a Tufts professor about, you know, water, coastal plain ponds, you know, what do the ponds have to do with groundwater on the Cape?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it's related to water supply, but it kind of is. So, meetings about the town's planning for wastewater.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
big, it's the issue of the 21st century here on the Cape.
You know, this is probably something that gets to that third category, exceeds expectations. I mean, I think the way the scoring system is intended to work is if you do everything you're supposed to do and no more, you get a 2. If you do all that, and hey, by the way, I also did all this other stuff that I didn't have to do, but I did it, that is where you exceed your, and that's where you're talking about more than a cost of living increase, maybe, right? And I think maybe what Commissioner Robinson's suggesting here is we're, all three of us, I think, are encouraging and open to you guys doing as much as you can do, and one way or another, I think we can take care of you. You know, we're not expecting to go out 3 nights a week doing stuff, but start.
You have a social life too.
Yeah, but I think, I think it's a good point. And you guys, you know, this is an important business. That's why we're involved here, because we think this is really important, and you guys are key. So I think it's a good point that Commissioner Robinson makes. There's a lot of opportunity here on the Cape. You live in an area that the rest of the country hears about.
We have Woods Hole scientists who know a lot about water.
Yeah.
And they go out and they talk about it.
And if you do find you start putting time and doing the stuff, let us know, and we'll figure out a way to, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of courses are at the community college nowadays, but they used to have water type. So Nick teach over there for a while.
I mean, maybe we could, all three of us are kind of tuned into lectures and stuff that are going on in meetings. Maybe we could make a little bit more of a practice when we hear something.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll shoot it to Jen and you guys can.
Yeah,
yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
It's not just classes. I'm just talking about just independent talks and lectures. And
yeah. Yep. Yep. That's right. Yep.
Yeah, the broader you can make your experience, the more opportunities to advance your careers. If you want to stay in this business, be a superintendent someday.
So back to that.
The wise woman once told me, don't ever become an administrator. You don't get to do all the fun stuff anymore.
A wise woman?
So we're talking about compliance, regulatory compliance. Are there comments about the superintendent's regulatory satisfactions?
Well, I guess I should have asked this question before, but these comments or these non-bolded things, are these
bullets?
Where did these come from? Did these come from, are these things you've added, Chris, to your sort of self?
No, this was developed about 3 to 4 years ago. They wanted to put a structure in place, and this was brought up between a previous commissioner. Kind of headed it and came through and bring it to the meetings and probably through, it started before you got here, I think, and then you came in towards the end,
Well, the reason I ask is as we go through these, some of these things like that one, for example, I feel like that's hard for me to judge whether you've done exactly what you're supposed to do or more, and I guess I would invite, as we go along here, if you want to tell us that you feel you've done more, and, you know, let us know, because I feel a little bit at a loss with some of this stuff, just simply not knowing. I mean, my sense is that you're meeting all the required stuff.
Yeah, right now all our guys are currently have taken classes,
right,
and are already actually scheduled to go take classes,
yeah,
now when they just re-upped. So they don't need to get their points right now. They got
right,
another 2-3 years to get them. But they see a class come. I think,
right,
what's the one where all four of us are on? Yeah. But PFOS. Yeah, there's a whole, we're going for the PFOS, how to do the test. They're
yeah,
going through, and they're going to have somebody show how to do the test. So I signed all four of us up because it's over in Mashpee. If there's an emergency, we
good,
can come right back.
Good.
And yeah. Yeah. I try to keep them as local. As far as we usually
yeah,
go, it might be, I think it's Hopkinton for classes. You got to get up a little early to get there and everything else. But
yeah,
they have, like, week-long classes that you
yeah,
can go and
yeah,
take if you want to get training in certain areas
yep,
and everything. But as I said to them, we have a training budget there. We never really exceed it because we're lucky enough to have Mass Rural Water and Boscoe County superintendents that throw all these free classes out.
How come I don't have a hat?
Well, this.
Nobody has a hat except for him.
No. Somebody bought. These were bought by an employee and given to us out of his own account.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So let's evaluate. So.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
So. We have new. We're going to have the new security system. Is that going to? Is everybody going to be trained on the operations of that?
That's something they ask me every day. When's the training come on it? They do ask me every day, and
okay,
I said when they're done, they will sit down and go over everything. We have had. What was it? A speaker call on how to do log me in on how to do the Win 911 system. Now that everything now goes to a text on our phone.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there's an emergency, it goes to a text on the phone. You got to acknowledge it, then you go in to log me in, log into the computer, and see what's wrong. So it's all improving.
It's improving.
But
I just want to make sure that we get trained on that. I know Jen has had to do the warrants electronically. Has she gotten training on that? Have we been updating the software in the office? Has there been training for Jen?
Not anymore, really. I know she's trying to get some billing upgraded.
The treasurer has contacted with him to pay for online bill pay, and we've been working a little bit with our software provider to build a file to be able to train that. So when new pay comes on board, and Rob has been sending files back and forth and trying to pull that down, and when it gets listed, but so far it's coming right. And I will be working on it, not there yet.
And certainly this year Jen didn't go, there wasn't a class on it, but in the past Jen has gone to Linda Copper testing classes with me so that she can stay in. Was it this year? Yeah, but wasn't that last year?
It was the day they did that, well, it was 2019.
Yeah.
It was the day
Right. So I'm trying to keep everybody with what they have as much as they can, and like I said, I always offer more.
And you have to work with Commissioner Robinson that likes to use social media to get the word out. We've been working on training staff in the intricacies of utilizing social media so that you don't get yourself in trouble.
You're talking to our Facebook manager over there also, and a couple of our likers on just about every comment.
Very smart. I'm just curious. When you ask people to do things, and I think that's evident here across the board, you need to make sure that they have the tools to do them. And there's a lot of different avenues to gain those tools. And
correct.
We want to take advantage of those to the best of
our ability. And we're paying more money now to make sure that we get them tools between the warrants being okayed over the phone, you know, over everything, and being signed online.
Between, you know, the new SCADA system's going to need maintenance. So all these things, we're coming up with everything and making sure that, you know, we're paying for all the training and everything else that's involved with it. Whether we get it.
Okay. Okay. Can we call for evaluations on compliance, please? Commissioner Kropfenstein. Commissioner Horsley?
Two.
Chair votes two. Personnel management. So this is the superintendent's supervisory role of his staff. It's a lot of internal stuff that we wouldn't know about unless it rose to the level that we would have to know about it, especially when it comes to discipline or any dissatisfactions that he has with the staff. I just want to say that on a department level, the response that I've seen with the concerns about the rate increases have been handled in a spectacular, professional, and courteous way. I'm talking about Chris and Jen here. From what I can see, and the fact that we had so little uproar, really, when you think about it, for major disturbance in people's financial lives and perhaps lifestyle as they have to adjust their consumptions. I mean, I personally was there in the office when Jen handled one of the calls, and it was just I wish I could have taped it for other people who work in the public sector that I deal with on a regular basis and other places on the Cape. Don't always have that kind of attitude, including a place about five miles east of here in a big red brick building, which is not as user-friendly as some might think. But anyway, I wanted to make sure that that was expressed. And it goes to, obviously, the individuals, but also the culture, I think, that exists in that office.
Don't just think it's us, too. Like, the guys, they're the ones that go out and change the meters, check the meters and everything.
See, I don't know that.
Yeah, and they're the ones that have to deal face-to-face with the public out there a lot, and they've done a great job, as I've brought to your attention before. I have got letters of thanks for their work, for the kindness and how the professional they helped.
Good. Also. I hope you keep those up.
Correct.
So I hope you keep those comments in their files.
Yeah.
So there's some of the criteria, training, cross-training of the staff to ensure coverage, performance reviews are completed in a timely manner, discipline is carried out promptly and documented, employees' performance issues are addressed. So, again, I don't know how we would know some of that other than to me, a lot of times, if no news is good news, and if it was bad news, it would have to come up here and we would have to help you work through it. So are there any things that you wanted to point out, good or bad, this past year?
Definitely, as you said, like I said before, you know, I think my teams, they're public, they know that that's their bread and butter right there, and they're very, very good with them. I'm very happy with my staff, as I've said before, and I hope I treat them well. Maybe you guys would hear if I didn't. I don't know. But they do well. I think that they're learning all the time. I think they do, like I said, take any class they can. And you know how I feel about Jen. Come on.
Yeah, my sense is... that even though it's not a bullet here, I think you have a really nice dialogue with the staff, and a good. And it kind of goes to the next one too, in communication. But I think that's important. And my sense is that you probably have a better than average relationship with your staff, which is really important. So I would give you a 3 in this category.
Thank you.
So I would give him a 3 as well. Okay, the last category to discuss is communication. Communications with other boards, commissions, committees, contractors, regulatory authorities are adequate to produce the desired incomes, outcomes. All interactions with ratepayers and the general public are done in a professional, respectful manner with no discrimination. So I think we've addressed the second bullet there.
Yeah.
Communications with other boards, commissions. Again, I don't know how we would really evaluate that. I do know that it's important to have a good working relationship with peers in any field. And I know that you feel comfortable talking to your peer superintendents in Barnstable and Mashpee. Do you go farther afield if somebody has some information that you don't know, you know how to get it?
No, the town of Barnstable, yeah, exactly. I have no problem calling any of the superintendents to talk to them. And they have no problem calling, actually, the entire Cape. Anytime anybody needs, you know, hey, like I put out for the sodium.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we're noticing this going up here. Is anybody else having the same problem, you know? And I'm not saying everybody has the time to respond, but I throw out, a blast to them, and I get three or four responses back. Some people are, hey, here it is. It's on the paper right here. Here's our last reports. Yes, we've seen it rise, and everybody says it right now. It's rising, it's rising, it's rising.
How do you feel working with DEP on a regular basis? Do you talk to them once a week, once a month? How does that work? They're different people and different divisions.
I don't deal with them unless I really need to.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't hear from them, it's better in my eyes.
Yes,
but if I do have to call them, I actually... I don't think I have a bad relationship with any of them. I haven't ever told anybody off or been told off. I usually, I do rely on sometimes for help to make sure everything we want to make sure that everything's fine. And I believe...
Do they come down?
And we get sanitary surveys by them. Usually I haven't had anybody come here that wasn't a nice person. And it's usually one little thing they'll... always seem to find something. Your drain over here, is it registered? What do you mean registered? Well, you should have all drains, all floor drains registered with the state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next week, here it is. We got them registered. There you go. Boom, send it in. We're happy. You're all good. So it's usually the same thing. They usually find one thing to talk about just to see how things are going. And
like a restaurant inspector.
Correct. And you know what's funny is we get a couple of the people that come, you said restaurant, but sometimes we'll have certain DEP guys come down because there's different restaurants they like on the Cape. I got one guy that says that he used to tell me the best French fries he's ever had was at the picnic box up here, and he comes down just, he likes to, when he is, he's somebody looking for a volunteer to come this way, he goes, oh, I need some fries.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, last year I can remember we had some bumpy times with working within the district with some of the other departments, and I think you've done a really good job ironing those out and
Thank you. And
kind of leveling that playing field, opening up those channels of communication, which I think we asked you to do last year, and I would commend you on that.
Thank you. Yeah, we do. I have a I won't say I have a much better relationship with the treasurer. We talk more about what's going on now. I'm not totally involved like I feel I should be sometimes, but I think that he's got a much level ahead than I thought in the beginning. And mine leveled out a little better, I guess we'll say, too. And as far as the other, the fire chief and down, we're constantly talking about different things. He approached me today about some other stuff that I could talk to you about at another time and everything. But, I mean, we're always in conversation about different things.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I would recommend a 3 in this category as well, given everything we just talked about.
Yeah, I would agree. A 3. Okay. A lot of work with the public this year with the rate increases and stuff. I think you've done a great job.
And I would say 3 as well. So that's a total of 10.5 points.
Woo-hoo!
which
it's not even on there.
Which is somewhere between meets expectations and exceeds expectations.
I think you got to round up. 0.5.
Right.
Oh, he's a teacher.
The teacher.
It's on a, scale.
I never got a
0.5. he always got to round it up.
We'll call it 11. So are there areas for improvement? I
think the areas of improvement are that are primarily the challenges that, the district faces with water quality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that he could do a better job than he did last year. I'm just saying he needs to stay on on the same track and continue to be diligent.
Yep.
And maybe we as a board need to set some tighter deadlines.
Yeah.
If we wanted to work with the state on the PFAS thing because it was going to end up costing us nothing. And hindsight, 2020 being 2020, maybe we should have said, let's just suck it up and pay for it. Just the same, you know, we need to get that baseline, and I think that's an area that I don't know if it needs improvement, but it needs to be in the forefront of his mind, and I think it is.
Definitely.
So one thing that I would point to is this request from GHD for using extra contingency monies just because it's there as far as I can see. And we haven't had a chance for Chris to explain his thoughts on that. It's not on the agenda tonight, but I didn't like being blindsided by that request. I thought that was something we should have had a little heads up about. It wasn't something we had to decide that night. Maybe he was available and we put him on the agenda, but that was a big deviation that I wasn't very happy about hearing without knowing it was coming. I was told it was coming. I apologize, but I didn't think
no, it was brought up to me, and I basically said to him, I'm not going to okay any kind of money like that. You're going to have to put it down in paper and say why you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to present it to the commissioners on it. He approached me probably about 3 days before the meeting and said, I'd like to just let them be aware that it's going to be coming down the line. I don't want to throw anything at them because I'm not the guy to speak about on it.
Okay.
I would just like to bring it to their attention. He said that on it, and he asked me if he could bring it to your attention, basically. He said, so if you don't mind, I'd like to go to the meeting just to talk a little bit about it. And I said, no. I said, you can come in. It's a public meeting to talk about anything like that. I said, but, you know, I'm telling you, just get it ready if you want. I said, because I've seen this before with contracts.
Right. But anyway, we'll dispose of that as an issue at some other time. I just would like more of a heads up on stuff like that. When somebody's coming, because it's potentially, you know, cause of embarrassment of the commission and the department at a public meeting like that. Anything else for? We didn't talk about strengths. I think we talked about strengths in the context of these other categories. So,
I just wrote down for strengths. Really well with personnel, with the system maintenance and management, getting the SCADA system up and almost running everywhere, and pumps rebuilt, and all the stations now, right?
Basically, we still have to do something to fire, but I can't do it. It has a little bit of a vibration to it, and I can't do anything to that until we finish the SCADA system, because I don't want to take five offline.
Yeah.
I don't want to have two stations off at the same time if I can help them.
Yeah. And with the communications, I think you've done an outstanding job. So I think those are strengths. Add in, and I'll give these notes to whoever's gonna.
Well,
type this.
Yeah, I'll take it. And
okay.
Do something with it. Is this a Word doc that you could send me, Jen? Okay. And so goals for the following period, I'm going to call the following period being calendar 2020, since
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was just
if I remember right,
it's supposed to go 12/31/19.
It has to be ready for the January meeting, so yeah. I have to be ready for the February meeting. I have to have them done. I just remember that they were done before the deadline in our handbook. Evaluations. I have to
do the ones for your people.
For my people, yeah. So it's usually done around the same time. When I present there, you do mine.
We didn't do it in February because of our big hearing.
Correct.
Right. So that's why we scheduled a special meeting, and we're still meeting the prudential committees.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So goals for the following period. I'm not sure these are programmatic goals. I think they're more goals, personal goals for Chris. Does that make sense? I don't think we should be putting objectives of the department as in this section. What did we do last year? Remember?
I don't think there was really anything except just to accomplish some open stuff.
I think it was. It might have been
close up.
Close up a couple ongoing projects. Yes.
Projects.
That was it. Yeah. Things that have been hanging around for.
Correct.
A yeah, I remember.
Correct. Yeah.
Former commissioner of that particular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if this falls in line with that, but I would think like contaminant source identification and remediation is something that I'd like to see him work on first and foremost, mm-hmm. and then maybe we get down into the weeds on treatment. But you know, treatment's expensive and it doesn't work as well as source remediation. And that's kind of what Commissioner Horst has been enlightening us on recently.
Well, thanks for bringing that up. I'm struggling with what is supposed to go here, whether it's more professional growth or more. But I was thinking more along the lines of what we were just talking about with some goals for the year that maybe you could really focus on, and I agree. I think some of these water quality threats are things that are, I think things are going well in general here. My assessment of the department since I've been here, but I think those are the things that I see most.
So maybe what we should do is take that out of this and put it into more of a strategic plan, a quick and dirty strategic plan for the next year.
Okay.
And maybe we can do that as soon as we get through this stuff. And come up with, three or four prime objectives like that to work on. Business plan for the year kind of thing.
Maybe, I think that's a good idea, but what I was trying to get at is I think we could go after this stuff jointly with a combination of our involvement, all the staff being involved. Like if we can have kind of a game plan, like, hey, we're looking for sodium salt issues, and you guys are out there in the watershed, try to fit jointly, and then whatever consultants we need. You're right, it goes to more of a strategic plan, but I think in terms of directing your supervision and directing staff, I think that this is something we're all saying is a priority.
So we'll work together on that.
Okay.
I think, so a goal, Chris, might be take the leadership in coming up with some of those goals for us to respond to. So you're hearing some things about water quality. You might think of how do I put some goals and objectives together for the coming year to at least advance the ball on some of those things. Even if it's as simple as, should we post the beautiful sodium graph on the website or not?
Yeah.
I think that one thing that I've noticed is that and it's not specific to this department, but lots of agencies in general don't like to be pushing out things that might upset people. I have a different perspective. I think if you show, look what we found, the sodium's going up, and we're going to get people upset, and what are you doing about it? Exactly.
Help us.
We got to do something about it.
Yeah.
And then people say, we need to get rid of that contaminant. And they're more likely to come in and help us fund something that will address it. So I think I don't shy from the fact there's tons of contaminants out there. The fact that we're drawing water from where we live has always astounded me that you can get away with that. I mean, that we have all these septic systems going into our water supply. It makes absolutely no sense to me. I mean, we're getting away with it because we've got a good sand filter, but it ain't doing the trick for everything. So I would push more information out. In our CCR gen, we didn't get the statement in about we have met all. Did you ask about whether we could put in something in a bigger font that said these results indicate that we have met all the safety standards?
Did you add that above the table?
I didn't see it.
No.
So it's not obvious. Next year. but that's the thing. I mean, we're putting out information, but the lay people are not going to be able to understand any of it. So we need something in bright, bold that says these results indicate compliance. And I don't think that's... I think that you need to make sure that what we're saying is accurate. You know.
One other... On the subject of getting more information out there, which I agree with 100%, if we're going to take some steps forward on managing irrigation, as I've been pushing, and I'm optimistic I can get
that
follow-up.
That's a strategic plan.
I'm sorry?
That's on the strategic plan, though.
Right, but on the subject you're talking about getting information out, if we do that, I think it's going to take everybody in this room talking with people to explain why we're doing it, what they can do about it, because again, you guys are out in the field.
Right.
And if we're going to try to enforce like people not having rain sensor, one way you do that is you look for irrigation systems on when it's raining.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yep. 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 Yeah.
Low flow.
Right.
One thing I would say, I'm not sure it's fair, but it's really nice having you guys here.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks for coming.
I think I know why you came, but again, this just coming to other meetings like this is professional development.
Well, it helps us to see what you guys are on as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to come occasionally.
Yeah.
Not just when budgets are being discussed.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a lot of notes here. I will digest it. And is there?
Once it's all set, I'll
do you have any personal goals?
Good question.
Personal goals?
Yeah, that you would like to include in your employee evaluation.
Not really. I would just like to continue to keep the staff that I have going, and you know, make sure that there is incentives there to keep them, because, like I said, I'm nothing without what they do. So I just think of that down the line. You know, if there's anything you guys can think of.
Friday barbecues.
But no, I'm not talking just for morale. I'm just saying, you know, it's tough because we're a small town, you know, and these guys, in a way, it's great for them because they get to learn how to do treatment, they get to learn how to do change a meter, they get to know how to do a mockout, they get to know how to look at a pump, fix a pump, they get to work a hydrant. Whereas some places, you go into Calm and this guy comes in, sits down and says, my job is to do markouts. These two guys over here, they're the meter changers. They go around and change meters.
Less than I'm doing right now,
And that's why I like with the steps that we have. It's just something to consider all the time because it's kind of like the same thing in the firefighter field or whatever they have, where the two is paying people less when you can go next door and make $30,000 more.
Yeah.
It's
it
tough, and that's why we've addressed it in the past, and I want to just make sure we keep addressing it and everything just so that I don't lose what I have because I'm pretty happy with it.
Okay. That's a good goal.
Yeah.
I think as far as we're meeting all state requirements, we're putting it out there, and you know, Sean's not here tonight, but that chlorine system, I want to say is his baby. You know, he's constantly trying to tweak one thing here or the other, and it's not as, I don't want to say not as good as it was sold to us. It's not as maintenance-free as they sold it to us. Where they were like, oh, this is going to be fine. You're not going to have to do much maintenance. We have leaks and cracks and fittings drying up. Chlorine is an animal.
And
nothing can, it dries anything out. I don't care if they're supposed to be resistant or not. Everything dries out and cracks. You have problems. Pumps that are not supposed to air or seize up will get airbound even if they're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Things happen. But it's just, it's going to be one of them things where I'm glad that these guys are down there looking at it and learning. You know, when something goes wrong, the three of them run down to fix it so that everybody learns. And that's the way it should be.
Yep. Good.
So is there a motion to accept the evaluation with points of 11 and different notes regarding individual?
Oh.
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. And so we get to a recommendation for the superintendent's salary adjustment. 3% sound fair?
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, definitely. I think it's 3% across the board, right?
Yeah, I think so.
If 3% of the higher paid guy is a little more money than 3% of the lower paid.
And if the district,
so we should keep that in mind, actually, but I think in this case it's okay.
But if the district is going with a higher cost of living, I think we want to reassess that and revisit it.
Yeah, like the 4%.
Yeah.
Well, although we got to find out about their union dues.
Yeah, exactly.
I think 3 is appropriate, and I'd like to keep it at 3 for this year.
If you looked at the treasurer and the assistant treasurer and who else?
There's the town, I mean the chief's assistant or whatever. The clerk. She works 10 hours, I think it is, for the
non-association.
Right. So
if they're getting considerably more, percentage more, I would like to match that.
Yeah, right.
I can check with the fire chief and see what he put in for for his assistant, I guess, or office manager. The only thing would be I don't know who to contact, whether it be Ray or the financial committee. It might be better coming from you if you're going to email them about the medical, say, and while I'm talking.
See, I've already forgotten that.
Well, don't worry, Jen's going to remind you. You might want to add to that. What has been suggested to you for the treasurer and his assistant? Correct.
Great. Okay, so we have voted to adopt a 3 across the board unless we get more information that deviates from that. Correct?
Perfect.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there any other business that is...
Second.
...that I could not reasonably anticipate? What about the revenue side? Where does that show up?
Pretty. It's pretty.
The revenue side?
We're about $129,000 right now. Higher, isn't it? $159,000 or
$129,000?
So right. So, I mean, when you do a budget, these are all the expenses, but we want to show the revenue side, too.
That was... I don't have it here.
So, we recommend...
Well, we know some of it, right? The fixed revenues.
And
so when we go to the Prudential Committee, will we have those numbers?
I think you should. I don't know that we did. Maybe we did at the last meeting
when I gave the half year report.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did give them the estimate of the new. We're actually
our projected revenue
is much higher than what was estimated from in the beginning of the year. So and it was at 115 or
129
over. Our excess billing is $126,000 more than it than was
estimated. Well, don't get too fat and happy because people are going to start cutting back on
Correct.
Right. How does that work?
If they're smart.
When we can't
we can, we
make
revisit,
money.
We revisit. At that point, we revisit the structure and, you know, we can't make extra money. So we have to revisit it at a certain point and say, are we bringing in too much money? Are we not bringing enough money? If that's the, if we're not bringing enough,
don't forget the district tax is supposed to go down to offset.
Correct.
So. And that also speaks to the question John Mayer asked me last time about if people can start conserving and if people want to cover their expenses, that is the
tax.
I just did, a couple weeks ago, I just did a, I did a one-hour lecture at Harvard Public Health School on groundwater and drinking water supplies. I have a slideshow. Would it be of interest to do this for staff? And if so, when would be best? Because I have a pretty flexible schedule, and I don't know whether it's a during the day or an after. I don't care. For me, it could be either way.
I bet the Civic Association would sponsor it. They're always looking for topics. They get a good crowd.
Yeah.
They get 30 people.
Well, that's
always the same 30 people.
I'm like thinking more internally here, but I mean, I'd be happy to do that too. But whatever you think.
Well, I think
my sense is
I think they should come to the evening meeting.
Okay.
She's trying to get you out. Did you tape that?
No.
Isn't taped?
No. It was, no.
Okay,
but I'm happy to do it. Actually, it's like an hour and a half, and it got a lot of good discussion and questions. But it might help as we address some of these other issues, like the sodium and the irrigation, because I think, you know, my sense is you guys are more focused on the infrastructure.
Let's talk to Jim Danhauser.
Right, and I'd be talking more about the invisible resource.
Correct.
We're not.
Correct. Yeah, that's usually what I rely on. Hiring someone to help me with and do that's not something that, you know, that.
But I think having my sense from just from our little discussion tonight, and I'm really glad you guys are here too, just to kind of get more on the same page. And the other thing is, I'm interested in learning more about the system too. Thank you so much for the tour that you did.
Yeah.
Mark and I think you couldn't make it that day. You'd already done
it.
But he knows. But I still, when we have some of these conversations, I still think sometimes I don't really get, like, you pump it from the system, directly from the wells rather than the tanks. And I'd like at some point to get more of a briefing on the system, just to learn a little more about the nuts and bolts.
Sure.
So I don't know how we do that, and I don't know if you guys are interested in that.
No, the thing is, we can sponsor it in our meeting here, but we won't get anybody because we
still
don't publicize it well enough. But the Civic Association likes topics of general interest. That's a general interest topic.
Oh, okay.
And there are people that regularly come to Civic Association meetings, so you'll get
an audience
of 30 people.
That's fine. Again,
maybe
you'll
get
interest
a few
is
more.
To have this group of people together.
Well,
we can talk about, you know, operations. And I mean, we don't want to become operators, but I think understanding more about what you guys are doing.
Well, so maybe it's a two-part lecture.
I think it is.
And you talk about groundwater, and Chris talks about the system.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Okay. Do that to the Civic Association?
Oof. Mine's pretty simple, you know, how it works and everything. It goes in, it comes out. No. You go like this and it works.
We'll make some slides for you.
Yeah.
We can talk about the slides.
Now this is, I mean, we're pretty simple. We're all gravity-fed, basically, in this system. All we do is pump into water mains. It's just higher than the pressure that's there, that it feeds at currently.
Why does the pipe at the end of my street leak all the time? What's that all about? You know, I mean,
if you call after 4:30, I'll tell you.
It might be good, just while we have people's attention with the water rates, to give them a real show.
Yeah.
That'd
be good.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'd go a long way.
Like we've always been transparent here. Transparency's always been the way to be.
Yeah.
As Mark says, he likes to throw more information out there. Sometimes I shy on that.
I know you do.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, too much information, maybe. It can be dangerous, but... I don't like to make
Chris,
panic
that,
either.
That way
yeah.
you can never be criticized for trying to hide something.
Yeah.
And that you went out of your way not to hide it. In fact, you pushed it out there when you didn't have to. And people respect that.
Okay.
Because you're a public servant. And, you know, yeah, you shy away from it because you don't want complaints. I get that. But it's more of a complaint when people come in and say, we were never told to have elevated sodium. Yeah, I know we told you, we put it on the website, it's been there for years. You know. It's just a tier thing that I think is, I mean, we've seen it, and it helps.
Yeah.
You know? Okay.
Another motion to adjourn.
Oh, thank God.
Second.
Oh, no, wait a minute, before we do that, I am not going to be here. You changed the meeting to the last week in March, which is my 1 week of vacation this year, and I forgot.
Well, where are your priorities?
I know, exactly. So,
do
you
we
guys
want to keep that meeting date?
We don't have
do
to.
We
don't have
it.
To. You guys can, you have a quorum, you can do it. Or we could just say this is the March meeting and skip to April.
I think we should have you there, because there's a lot of stuff we got to get to, and we really need everybody involved
All right.
in it.
So should we do it? Was it the last one in April, last week in April? We talked about moving it to the last Wednesday.
So currently it's scheduled for the 26th?
Correct, which is the last Wednesday.
Yeah. So that's a long time in between. Is that going to cause you any problems?
No.
No. Okay.
No, it doesn't. I mean,
we have a meeting with Prudential.
We have other meetings in the meantime with Prudential and getting ready for the district meeting.
You had a conflict with the 18th, didn't you, Scott?
Of
March?
March. No, actually I don't. I may have, but I don't.
No, the 18th is the third Wednesday you wanted to keep free.
Oh, that's what it is. Thank you. Yes, I do, Chris. Yeah.
It was a honeydew conflict, as I recall.
Oh, it's the Pituit Arts Center.
Ah.
Yeah, every third Wednesday they have a get-together. And I've never been able to take advantage of that, so I want to start doing it.
Okay.
Plug into the community more. You know?
There you go.
So
I have a conflict on the 18th. Anyway, so
the 25th you can't do, right, Mark?
But we can get basic business done if you're not
here.
We can
do keep it on the 25th. We'll just run through general business.
Yeah, if there's anything that comes to mind that we have to bring up.
First? Yeah, what? Is just the 1 week here away? Just push it back 1 week.
Okay. April Fool's Day?
April Fool's Day.
I won't be here.
No.
Oh, you're not?
No.
No, I won't. Yeah, I'm going to Worcester. There's a conference I go to every year in Worcester. That's the 29th, 1st, and 2nd. To do some of that public committees and talk to DEP and classes and... Talk to my fellow.
We're all done with that. We're done.
Oh, I'm all done? Okay.
I'm not averse to skipping late March, early April. We'll just go to the late April.
Okay.
Let's
so we're going to go with the 22nd then, right?
25th. What is it?
25th.
No,
22nd.
That's the 4th. Okay, the 4th Wednesday.
That's.
It's the 22nd.
Right.
Okay.
5th.
Of April.
25th.
April.
You're going to keep it on the 25th?
Go to April.
No, we're going to skip March 25th.
Oh.
We're going to just
go to April 22nd?
Yeah.
So then you're following the 25th?
Yeah.
next meeting.
Yep. Okay, motion to adjourn.